Hello and welcome back to the Way UK podcast.
Hey guys.
You're here with Zach and Izzy and Michelle.
Hey.
Guys, we're so excited. We're going to be diving into the word, as you probably saw from the title. But I would highly encourage you to go watch Galatians 4 before you watch this. It'll provide the backdrop.
And 3 and 2 and 1.
And 3 and 2 and 1.
Galatians has been such a meaty bit of scripture that we've been going through.
Big old sandwich.
It's definitely challenging. It's definitely challenging. Make sure you watch them all. And just in case you haven't, well, in case you have watched all of those, just to re-jog your memory, chapter 4 was talking all about how we are no longer slaves to law. Nuh-uh. We are free.
Amen.
And we are heirs as sons and daughters of the king. You guys are princesses.
Oh, I'm a queen.
Okay. Hey, why don't you open up your Bible to chapter 5 and we're going to jump straight in. Izzy, do you want to read? I think it'd be great if we could break this into three parts. We'll do like verses 1 to 12 first.
Uh-huh.
Then we'll do verses 13 to 18 and then verses 19 to 26.
Yeah, it's done.
Great. Cool. My contact lenses, my sight is poor, so I'm going to hold this up to my face like a small child.
Okay. Read us verse 1 to 12.
Chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Crazy ending of that section. Okay, Paul's going in on circumcision.
He's saying some words.
Looking first at just verses kind of like 1 to 6 or 2 to 6,
mm-hmm.
Why is he so adamant? Because we know here he's talking against the law, right? Like that's been a lot of what the previous four chapters have been. Why is he so specific, do you think, about circumcision?
Maybe that was a big thing.
Maybe.
Like my understanding of it is that to be a Jew, you had to be circumcised and then it was the Jewish people that were like, to be a Christian, you have to still be circumcised to be a Christian. And that was something that they still pushed for.
Mm.
And that doesn't sound very pleasant as an adult, in my humble opinion. so maybe there was some uproar about that. No, but maybe
not
that,
the vibe at all.
Not the vibe. So I think for them, that was a really big thing. That was a real mark, a real symbol of their faith. And I think that was probably something people were getting really caught on, like it was the law and like keeping all the rules, but I think the circumcision aspect of it was like that was the big thing if he's talking about it so much.
Well, I think Paul was sort of getting at it because like they were being legalistic about it. They were like, oh, you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Christ if you're not circumcised, even though like Jesus dying on the cross actually paid the full price so that we would no longer be bound by the law, so then we could now live in this new covenant. So I think like the reason why he made such a heavy emphasis on it was almost like trying to shake it out of them, being like, y'all are being so legalistic about it. You like, stop it, that vibe, you know? Yeah. But what do you think, Zach? Why'd you ask that question?
Well,
I'm just going to cast that back to you.
I'm just more curious that that's what he focuses in on, which I guess, Izzy, what you said reminded me that, yeah, that's a marker of identity. So maybe it's also not just an issue of action, but an issue of identity, which is exactly what he was talking about in chapter 4, which is that we're sons, not slaves. So I guess here he's just continuing that we are no longer slaves to that old law. What I'm still curious about is, I guess something that I kind of like struggled with when I first read this was, does that mean we should just disregard the whole Old Testament? Because if all of that is like this old covenant and things that are identity markers that we no longer need, then how do we still consider everything that it says? To which the answer I found, I don't know, you guys can feed in if you agree with this. I found that you almost have to make like classifications of things that were specific cultural laws and things that were moral laws that were to be practiced for all time. And circumcision, I guess here Paul is saying, is not a moral law. And therefore is not something that Christ urges us to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think it's because Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so that's like the law was there to basically to try and make you clean before God. I'm probably going to mess some of this up. But and then all the sacrificial stuff to then, you know, to give blood to cover the sins. And Jesus came for that. But he also, like, he's the one who makes us holy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't still try and be holy. And so I think, like, the Ten Commandments, for example, is, like, just because Jesus died doesn't mean it's now okay to murder someone. Like, it's still a pretty good guide on how I think God, like, wants us to live. But there definitely is, like, nuances into some of it. Yeah, I don't really know the ins and outs of all of it, to be honest. But, yeah, I think some of it is, like, the moral stuff. Still don't murder. That's not great. but we don't need to sacrifice lambs and stuff anymore because of Jesus who came.
Yeah, well, I was just reading. I mean, if you read through verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law, you know, it literally, like, they're trying to be justified. It's not, they're doing all of these things to be right before God. But then he says, like, you've completely alienated yourself from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. And that, like, reminds me of that verse in Ephesians 2 where it says you've been saved by grace through faith. So it's no longer this works-based like relationship with God. It's actually, it's all about your heart. Like, where is your heart? Where have you placed your faith? Like, do you really believe that what Jesus has done, that price, the costly price that he paid on the cross, really covers you and covers all of your sins? And now that you can live a free life, no longer being bound by the law, because the law was very like restricting. And I guess it's just, you know, it was that.
No, that's so true, Michelle. And it's like such a radical teaching that almost like there's no requirement to be a follower of Jesus. Like, there's nothing that you have to do. Like you were saying, it's not about trying. It's through faith. And then we receive the righteousness from Jesus. And it's not dependent on like things like circumcision. In fact, he goes so far as to basically say that if we allow any of that sort of rule-based faith into our lives, then we step out of the grace that Jesus has offered us.
Right.
Like there's no kind of like middle ground. There's not a no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
You're either on one side or the other. You're either in one camp or the other.
Totally.
And He even then like likens it to, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I was like, bro, I have not like baked a day in my life. I was like, I literally have no idea what this means. So I looked up and it turns out he's talking about like yeast here, right? Mm-hmm. And like yeast, I somehow understand it's like the thing that makes bread rise and grow. And I was like, but why is that so significant? And as I was reading, I looked up how much yeast would be in an original recipe. And it said that it's usually, your yeast content is usually 1% of the flour weight in your bread recipe.
That's insane.
But in the end, the yeast can cause a growth of all of the other ingredients of over 100%.
Yo.
So what I take that to mean is here, right? Paul is saying that a 1%, like, oh, we're just going to add in circumcision. That 1% kind of like discounting of the grace that Jesus has offered us can over time or through a community then create a 100% difference. It can change everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That 1%. There's no room for even like a 1% difference, mm-hmm. because it's 100% Jesus that makes the difference.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of this, like, I mean, I was just reading through verse 7, you were running a good race. And like Paul was basically like addressing these guys, that these Jewish leaders who came to like teach. They were teaching the law alongside like the gospel of Jesus, and basically saying like, you still need to follow some of the rules of the law if you're a Jew, which is just a no-go, you know? Paul's like, don't do that. You don't need to do that. It's all about grace. The price that Jesus paid. But yeah.
Absolutely. And I think he goes further about that, where he says like, if it wasn't about grace, then he wouldn't be being so persecuted by the Jews. So the reason that he was getting so persecuted was basically because the Jewish people felt like he was going against their laws, against the culture, which may sound a bit weird for us because we don't live in this Jewish culture, but it was a really big deal back then. It felt very jarring. It felt very different, and they weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to that where he speaks, which verse is it?
It's in 11.
Verse 11. So that's why I'm still being persecuted. In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. So basically saying that if it is about what we do to earn righteousness, then the entire offense of the cross, so the entire cross has been, like, it doesn't matter. And that's what's different to the other religions, where they have to always earn them. Like, they have to live in the right way. They have to earn the love of their God, or however it works. But in Christianity, Jesus does it all. It's all about his grace. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do anything. And that's where it's so different to other religions, because it's not about what we do, but it's about the power of our God and his grace and his forgiveness and his love, which is pretty dang cool, in my opinion.
I mean, I think that verse is like so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. Like, Jesus dying on the cross was, like, it is an offensive thing to people who were, like, I mean, so many people, if we read throughout the Gospels, were, like, offended at Jesus, like, calling himself the Son of God and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's almost like Paul is saying, hey, like, all of that would have been for nothing if you're, like, still following the law. What are you doing?
Huh? Talk about offensive. Did you guys read verse 12? It had me giggling. Yeah. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Literally, Paul is saying here, like, those who have been teaching you this false doctrine, I wish they would emasculate. Is, I read somewhere in a commentary, it said, like, the actual word here is castrate, which basically, like, means to cut off, like, more than just the skin, if you know what I mean. And he's saying, this is the note I have on it. Paul essentially says that if cutting off part of your skin brings you closer to God, why don't you just cut off more as the pagan priests of the day would have done? But the irony in that is that actually in Jewish law, if you were to castrate yourself, then you weren't allowed legally in the place of worship. So not only is he making this joke about like, why don't you